Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel of Vladimir. I would like to dedicate this year to the Aliyah Neshama of Yosef Ben Binyamin, Alav Shalom, who was Nifta last week, somebody's grandfather, who I work with very closely for many years. He lives in Chicago. His grandfather is Nifta. I'm working with him for many, many years. His grandfather passed away last week, and may his Neshama have an Aliyah. And this chush of the Torah learning we will share today, Yosef ben Binyamin, alav hashem, and he should be a melitz yoshar for his whole family, for only smachot, and good health to enjoy. So this is the fourth of the Arba Parshios. We have been exploring the Arba Parshios, and I think for me at least there was something unique and something different, and I'm grateful that we did this. We did Parsha Shkalim, Parsha Zachar, Parsha Parah, and today we will talk about lessons from Parshas HaChodesh. This is the fourth of the special parshios that go from before Purim to before Pesach, each one with lessons connected to Inyanei Deyoma and the time period of the year in which we are in. So I'm actually going to begin. Okay, so Parshas HaChodesh is read. Sorry. Parshas HaChodesh is read from Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, Psukim Aleph through Chaf. It's extremely obvious, Parshas Shkalim, we worked a little bit to find the connection, and Parshas Parah last week, it's extremely obvious why this passage was chosen to precede or introduce Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It deals with the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, and then it deals with many mitzvos regarding the Korban Pesach, Achilas Matzah, getting rid of the Chametz, Yitziat Mitzrayim. So it is very obvious as to why Parshas HaChodesh is the prelude to Yitziat Mitzrayim and the observance of Chag HaPesach. I'm actually going to begin in last week's Parsha though. This Shabbos is very special. It's Shabbat Chazak because we finished Vayakon Pekudei, Chazak Chazak V'nis Chazek. It's also Birkas HaChodesh because we are Mevarchim Chodesh Nisan, and we take our two Sifrei Torah for Parshas HaChodesh. So there's a lot going on. I'm going to begin in last week's parsha, quoting a pasuk with Rashi, and a kasha I had when I was learning through the parsha that had never dawned on me before. You know, sometimes that's why it's so important to review our learning. You could learn something 100 times, and the 101th time you say, wow, how could I have never noticed that before? So last week's parsha tells us about the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, and Moshe goes up, and the people miscalculate, they count the wrong hours, and they get into a panic, and they go to Aaron, make for us a god. This man Moshe took us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him, bring me your jewelry, throw it into the fire, these are your gods, O Israel, who took you out from the land of Egypt. So B'kitzur, Moshe comes down and he drops the Luchos, that's the Shivasar B'Tammuz, the first 17th of Tammuz in our national history. And how did this happen? What did the people do to you, Aaron, that you brought upon them such a great sin? Okay, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Okay, I'm going to read the Pasuk with Rashi, 32:31. Vayashav Moshe El Hashem, Moshe returns to God. Vayomer, and he says, Ana chata ha'am hazeh chata agadola. Behold, this people has sinned a very great sin. Vayasu lahem Elohei Zahav. They made for themselves a god of gold. Okay. And either forgive them, and if not, the famous Mechenina Mesifrecha Asher Kavtafta is the very next pasuk, which is its own shir in and of itself. Rashi says, chapter 32, 31, Elohei Zahav, why does Moshe say to God, the people did a very great sin, and they made for themselves god, a god of gold? Rashi says, listen to this. What was Moshe saying to the Ribbono Sha'olam? Atahu shegaram tolehem. You caused them to sin. Why? Shehishpat alehem zav. You gave them so much gold. By the time of Yitzia Mitzrayim, v'shala yishem yishchenta, klei kesef uklei zahav, usmalos, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Bizas Hayam was even greater than Bizas Mitzrayim. They had so much gold. So God, it's your fault. Atahu shegaram tolehem, shehishpat alehem zav. You caused them to sin because you gave them so much gold. V'chol chefsam. You gave them everything they desired. The horses, Rashi tells, by Yamsuf were decorated, and the chariots with all kinds of jewels. The people had so much. So you gave them so much. You gave them all they desired. Ma yasu shelo yechto. What do you want? They wouldn't have sinned. Rashi gives a mashal like a king who gave food and drink to his son. He hung a purse of money around his neck, and he stood his son at the entrance to abase zonos. This is the language of Rashi. So he gave the son food and drink and money, everything he wants. He put him by the base zonos. And what do you think the son's going to do? So Moshe says to Hashem, you know, it's your fault. You gave him so much gold. Vaya asulahem Elohei Zahav. If you wouldn't have given them so much gold, they would not have sinned. So therefore, you should forgive them. Next words, va'ata im tisa chatasam, you should carry their sin, meaning forgive them because it's your fault. And if not, erase me from your book. So I noticed something that I never noticed before. As many times as I learned through the parsha with Rashi, many years as I learned through the parsha with Rashi, this is very reminiscent of something much earlier in Chumash. Much earlier, going all the way back to the beginning. What is it reminiscent of? Anyone on Zoom? What's it reminiscent of? So I said to my family, wait a minute, I have a big kasha on this. What is this reminiscent of?
Adam and Chava.
Oh, very nice. Adam. In Sefer Bereishis Perek Gimel, the Nachash is Arum Mikol Chayit HaSada Asher Asa Hashem Elokim. Well, did God say you can't eat from that tree? Well, she eats it. She gives it to her husband, he eats it. God takes a walk in the garden, L'ruach Hayam, Adam and his wife hide, they're so embarrassed, they're naked. And Hashem says to Adam, Perek Gimel Pasuk Yir Aleph, Mi higidecha ki erum ata? Hamina ate, asher si visicha levelti yochal mimenu achalta. From here the Gemara says, Haman mina tera minayin. Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? And what does Adam say? It's Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomer ha-Adam ha-Isha asher nasata imadi hi nasnali mina eitz v'ochal. You know what, God? It's your fault. You gave me the woman. The woman you gave me. She gave me from the fruit and I ate it. If you wouldn't have given me a woman, I wouldn't have eaten the fruit of the forbidden tree. Rashi says, "Beferush," quoting the Gemara Maseches of Avodah Zarah, "Asher nasata imadi kan kafir betova." He was a kofir betov. I gave you a woman to be an ezer kenegdo. You're telling me it's my fault? So I thought this is very strange. When Adam blames the Ribbono Shel Olam, right away Chazal label him as a kofir tov. He's an ingrate. He is denied the good. He says, "It's your fault." When Moshe blames the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyacha and says, why did you give them so much gold? It's your fault. Hashem Taka forgives the people. And we end up with Salachti Kivaracha. And clearly here we still are. Adam's kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Man becomes mortal. You'll work by the sweat of your brow. Woman's going to have Tsar Leidas about him, Tsar Gidl about him. Mankind is cursed forever. And Adam's a Kofar Tov. He goes down in the history books as rejecting or denying the good. And Moshe says the same thing. You gave them so much gold, so it's your fault. What do you want them to do? So I really was perturbed, or it struck me as very profound that there's a real kasha here. So when I mentioned it, someone's there? When I mentioned it, it's okay? So when I mentioned this, my husband suggested as follows. My husband had a very nice answer. My husband said, Adam was a yachid. As an individual, he was passing on the blame. He did not want to accept the responsibility for his own actions. I'm not a fault, it's your fault. Is anybody about me? Then God goes to the woman, what did you do? And she says, Hanachash, Yishiyani Vocha. Wasn't me, says Isha, was the Nachash. You shouldn't have created the Nachash. That's a Yachid deflecting responsibility, not willing to accept the Chrayas for his own actions. But my husband said Moshe was in a different role. Moshe was the Manhig. Moshe was not trying to get out of accepting responsibility for something he did wrong. He's pleading on behalf of the people. So I thought that was a very beautiful answer. As a yachid, you have to own up. But as a rabbim, as a man on behalf of the rabbim, his responsibility is to save the people. He was advocating for them, not trying to shirk responsibility when it came to his own sin. And I really liked his answer. So I really like that. And then I remembered in the Sefer that I'm quoting from in many classes, those of you who learn with me in multiple classes will remember that I'm quoting from Rav Yaakov Bender on Chumash, new Sefer. So I remember that Rav Yaakov Bender of Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva's Darchei Torah writes Mamish this exact word in regard to a different Ha'ara. Okay? So I went to get the Sefer and I read at the Shabbos table in regard to my question, my husband's answer. I'm listening to Rav Yaakov Bender writes, this is on Parsha Shmos. Now, all these parashios deal with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Parsha Shmos, the very last pasuk of Parsha Shmos. What happens in Parsha Shmos? All the way at the end, God convinces Moses at the burning bush to go free the Jews, Parakei. Moshe comes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, who is this God that I should listen to him? I don't know your God. I'm not sending the Israelites free. Make the work harder. No straw. Keep up the quota of bricks. The people say to Moshe, why did you come here? Moshe says to God, why did he send me? From the time I came to Pharaoh, the work is even harder. And God says, Hashem doesn't like this. And Hashem says to Moshe, Atotira Asher es elaparo. Last pasuk of Parsha Shmos. You will see now, Ato, what I will do to Pharaoh. What does that mean, you'll see now, Ato, with an ayin? So Rashi says, you will see now what I will do to Pharaoh, but what I do to the Shiva Umos, the seven Canaanite nations, you won't see. You question my ways? So Hashem blames Moshe for questioning God's ways. Moshe says, why did he send me? It's terrible. As soon as I came, the work was worse. So Hashem says, Ato Tira, now ayin, you'll see. But you're not going to see what I do to the seven Canaanite nations. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov Bender writes, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av L'Nevi'im, the greatest Navi that we ever had. The one who Hashem said about, B'chol Beisi Ne'emanhu, Lokei Navdi Moshe. Perek Yud Beis Abamidbar. Moshe is not like everybody else. He is the most Ne'eman, the most faithful, most trustworthy, Pe'el El Daberbo. What was his cheshbon in questioning Hashem? Why did you send me, and now the work is worse? The Meshgiach of the Mir Yeshiva, Rav Hirsch Feldman, would regularly repeat the following Hasidic Vart to answer this question. The Baal Shem Tov used to teach that every midah has a constructive use. Every midah, every character trait can be used constructively. Ka'as can be used to fuel holy passion. Gaiva can be elevated to Gaiva de Kedusha. You can be a proud person in your Avodas Hashem. What about the Midah of Kefira? Denial. Not believing in the Ribbono Shalom. How can you use that positively? Is there any positive use? Yes, says the Baal Shem Tov. The way you respond when a person is in trouble can tap into your Kefira. How so? When someone comes to you for help. Rabbi Bender doesn't write this, but I've heard this other places as well. Let's say the pauper comes to you for help. Don't be such a Baal Amunah. Don't say to the poor person coming up to Kimcha de Pischa and Maus Chitim. Don't be such a Baal Amunah. Al Tatz de Karbe. When the pauper comes for help, don't say, oh, God will help you. Say, you know, I don't know if God will help you, but I will help you. So Rabbi Bender writes, without using this exact example, so to speak, it doesn't mean that we shall go out here and become kofrim, chas v'sham. But a person can use this midah to help his friend when they're in trouble. Don't say Hashem will help you. Do what you can to help your fellow Jew in need. So if a person sees a figure being thrown into the ocean, drowning, don't say Hashem will help. If you see, these are his examples. If you see a burning building, don't say Ribbono Shel Olam. Spring into action. Do whatever you can. Kaviyachol, as if you're saying you're a kofer, God forbid, and I will help. I'm not going to rely on God. Perhaps we can use this idea to understand Moshe Rabbeinu's conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam at the end of Parsha Shmos. Hashem said, the Avos never questioned me. You're on the job for one day and you're already questioning me? Avraham Avinu faced a question, but he was the one facing the problem. Avraham Avinu didn't ask. Hashem says to Moshe, the Avos never asked, you're questioning me? And you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. So what's the difference? Avraham Avinu, says Rabbi Bender, didn't question, but it was his for himself. It was his only sayon. Send forth a maidservant and her son. It was for Avraham Avinu. Take your son and shachtem. It was about Avraham Avinu. It was a yachid. Moshe Rabbeinu was facing a situation and dealing with others. Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Bender goes so far as to write, perhaps he purposely closed off clarity in Amuna to be an effective shaliach. And I think that this is exactly what my husband was saying. It can be applied the same way. Adam was an individual. He had such a close relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He should have owned up. It was God himself who created him. God himself who put him in the Garden of Eden. God himself who said, don't eat from the fruit. So Adam should have said, I took responsibility. I did it. I ate it. Not deflected. But Moshe, said, to paraphrase Rabbi Bender, quote, purposely closed off clarity in Amuna to be an effective shaliach. So for Moshe, it was okay to say, you gave them so much gold. That was his job as a man here. Continues Rabbi Bender. He could not and would not access the Amuna of Avraham Avinu when it was for Yenim, when it was someone else facing a challenge. It was Moses Tafkid to go against God, so to speak, to save the klal. And this is going to be our segue into Parshas HaChodesh. Then Rabbi Bender writes, the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu met Moshe at the burning bush, he told him, Shal na'alacha me'al raglacha, take off your shoes from your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground. Hashem told this young shepherd, he was the leader of Klal Yisrael, what kind of introduction to the man who Gishal is take off your shoes? A person who is barefoot, quotes writes Rabbi Bender, will feel every single pebble. He will feel every single bump in the road. A manhig has to feel with others. Take off your shoes, I was saying to Moshe. If you want to be an effective manhig, feel the pebbles, feel the bumps, feel the pain of the people. Suffer with them. Do everything you can to help them. Put your emunah aside sometimes, kaviyachol, to go to bat for Am Yisrael. In Moshe Rabbeinu's taina, in his complaint at the end of Parsha Shmos, when he says to Hashem, why did you send me? It was made worse. We have learned this lesson. And we see that same thing repeated in Parsha's Kitisha, when he says to Hashem, you gave them so much gold, so they sinned. He wasn't trying to deny responsibility like Adam, who was a yachid. He wasn't fighting for himself like Avraham Avinu, who's maintained emunah and kept his mouth closed. Moshe was a manhig. A manhig has to sometimes kaviyachol, tap into the meat of, so to speak, kafira. Nobody misunderstand what I'm saying. To say, you know what? I will help. Why? As Rabbi Bender said, it all started by take your shoes off your feet, feel their pain, and fight their fight. And therefore, Moshe was allowed to say, why did you give them so much gold? It's your fault. If you wouldn't have given them so much gold, they would not have sinned. Shalom na'alacha me'al raglacha, says Rabbi Bender, Hashem was saying, feel the pain of the people to be an effective manhig. With that, keep all that in mind, we're going to go into the excerpt that is read for Parshas HaChodesh from the second Sefer Torah. Again, the first Sefer Torah is Vayakob Bekudei, Chazak, Chazak, Viniz Chazek, and then we go to Parshas Bo. We don't call Parshas Bo the Shabbos, and we read 20 psukim from Parshas Bo. It's psukim Perek Yud Beis, psukim Aleph through Chaf. Okay, Parak Yud Beis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 20. Okay. Let me just make sure. I think everyone's muted. Yes. Okay, here we go. What is, and we spoke about this, I don't know if you remember, but Parshas Bo, we spoke about, I believe, HaChodesh HaZalachem. We're not talking about the same topic today. Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Al, Parshas HaChodesh, the segue into Chodesh Nisan. I'm not going to read the lesson of every single pasuk, so I'm just going to paraphrase. Okay? And God spoke to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, HaChodesh HaZalachem, Rashi says this is Chodesh Nisan. Hashem showed Moshe the new moon in its renewal. And he said, when the moon looks like this, we declare the new month. This is why it's called Parshas HaChodesh. HaChodesh HaZalachem, Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hulachem, Nechod Sheyoshana. We spoke by Parshas Bo about why this is the first national mitzvah, on the significance of time. Pasuk Gimel, and immediately the Torah moves into many mitzvos regarding the commemoration and celebration of today, what we call Chag HaPesach. Pasuk Gimel, Dabru El Kol Ada Yisrael, speak to the entire assembly of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, V'yuchu lehem ish, celebrate, avot, celebrate. Everyone should take himself, every man, a lamb for the household, a lamb for his father's house. Now, there's a halacha that you're going to see, that you can't leave any left over. So let's say you only have four people in your house, a father, a mother, and two kids. Four people can't eat an entire barbecued lamb. This would be the whole thing roasted. So what should you do? There's not enough people. There's too few people in your house to be counted for this animal. So you should go to your neighbor. You should go to your neighbor who's close to your house. According to the numbers of souls, each one, what a person can eat, should be counted on the set. So you get families together until you have enough people to consume the whole Korban Pesach. It should be a pure lamb, a male within its first year. It should be for you. It should be from the sheep or from the goats. You shall take it. Only in this year, they took it on the 10th. They tied it to the bedpost and they left it until the 14th. It should be a watching until the 14th of this day. And then the entire assembly of Israel shall shecht it in the later afternoon. And what should you do? You should take from the blood of the Korban Pesach. I'm in Pasuk Zayin. Remember, it's chapter 12, verses 1 through 20. We are in Pasuk Zayin here. You should take from the blood. You should put on the two mezuzos. Those are the side posts. And the mashkof, the lintel. And what is the point of this? On the houses. So this is a new shiur that I'm giving now. I'm just going through the psukim. So I gave two different shiurim this week. Totally different topics based on these psukim. And after every shiur, different people reached out to ask me a question. So in case you have this question, I'm preempting it. The blood was put on the houses where the Korban Pesach was eaten. So someone said, what if someone was in a different house and they didn't have blood? It was put on the houses where the carbon. So if you had three families eating together in house X, that's where the blood went. There was no one eating in house Y because you were eating in house X, that's where the blood went. Fine. You put the blood on the two mezuzos of the mashkov. The pasuk says that befevosh. Al habatim asher yochu osa behem, in the house where you eat the carbon pesach, and you should eat the meat on that night, sli eish, shall be roasted over fire, umatos amirorim yochuhu, zecher l'mikdash kehilal, kein asa hila b'zman shebeis ha-mikdash hayakayam, hayakorach pesach matzu mar, v'achal b'yachad. Why? Because you're supposed to eat the carbon pesach, amatos umirorim. Okay, don't eat it undercooked, don't eat it boiled in water, roasted, the whole animal entirely. Pasuk Yud, don't leave any over till the morning. What is left over till the morning must be burnt in fire. So lahab the alfe of dolos. After Thanksgiving, you could use the turkey for Shabbos and you can make a salad. I don't know. I see they say use the bones to make stock. I don't know. Maybe people do that. Interesting. It's already been in the oven for so many hours. Now you're going to cook the bones in a pot to make stock. Sounds weird to me, but maybe it's a good recipe. But when it comes to the carbon pesach, lahab the alfe of dolos. You can't leave any over till morning. Whatever is left over has to be burnt. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'kacha tochlu oso. This is how you shall eat it. How shall you eat it? Even how you shall eat it is instructed to us. Nothing is left to the imagination. We have instructions as to how you shall eat it. Masnechem chagurim. Your loins shall be girded. Na aleichem beraglechem. Your shoes on your feet. Umakalchem biyadchem. Your staff in your hand. Was anyone in my OU Women's Initiative shiur last night? I spoke about the matzah, the staff. Okay. Here it's mekalchem, there it's matzah, but we spoke about the power of the staff. V'achaltem also b'chipazon. You should eat it in haste. What's b'chipazon? Those are from the Chumash, you'll see that that Targum Onkel says, b'chipazon is b'behilu. That's actually what we say at the Karban Pesach, at the Karban Pesach Halavai. That's what we say at the Pesach Seder. B'behilu yatzanu mimitzrayim. Based on this pasuk right here, b'chipazon, you should eat it in haste. So you're not going to sit down and lounge and spend 5 hours eating a rush because you're about to leave. B'chipazon b'behilu, Pesach hu l'Hashem, it is a Pesach to God. What does it mean, says Rashi? It's a korban that's called the Korban Pesach. And while we're eating the Korban Pesach, God will pass through Egypt on that night. He will smote down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man to animal. He will do wonders and judgments against the gods of Egypt, and the blood will be for you on the houses where you are. Again, it reiterates. So don't worry about house Z. If one's in house Z, you don't need blood in house Z. You need blood on the doorpost and the lintel of where it's being eaten. And I'm reiterating this because I got this question from a few people, so maybe it wasn't so clear. It's befevosh in the psukim. And I will see the blood. Upasachti aleichem. I will pass over you. There won't be any plague of destruction amongst you when I smote the Egyptians. And this day will be a zikaron, a remembrance, and you shall celebrate it as a chag to Hashem for generations, an eternal statue. You shall celebrate it, pasuk tetvav, for 7 days. Here we come into the part of matzah, so it's very clear. Unlike Parshas Shkalim and Parshas Parah, where we had to darshan a little bit, what's the connection to the Inyanei Diyoma? There's no kasha here as to why Parshas HaChodesh is read Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It is extremely clear. It's all related to Inyanei Diyoma and the halachos of Karban Pesach and Pesach. Pasuk Tet Vav tells you, Shiva Yami Matzo Tochelu, for 7 days matzo shall be eaten. On the first day you should get rid of leaven. Anyone who eats chametz, that soul will be cut off from the first day until the seventh day. The first day of the calling of holiness. The 7 days of calling of holiness. Here, Rachman al Tzlami, Pnei Chataynu, Galinu, Meretzenu. We talk about first days, plural, and second days, plural. Of course, the Oraisa, it's first day, Pasuk Tadzayin, and second day. Okay, all work shall not be done. Only work that's necessary for what you need to eat. Ushmartam es hamatzo, you shall guard the matzo. Famous Rashi, Rabbi Yoshia says, Ushmartam es hamitzvos, habal yarcha al tach mitzana. Because in the midst of this very day, I took your legions out of the land of Egypt. You shall guard this day for generations, an eternal statute. On the 14th of the first month, in the evening, you shall eat matzos until the 21st day. 7 days you shall remove, but chametz cannot be found in your houses. But anyone who eats chametz will be cut off. Last pasuk, kol mechmetzet lo sochilu, all chametz cannot be eaten. Of course, I was just talking to one of my sisters-in-law before I came in. I didn't talk to her all week, so I sent her a WhatsApp saying, I haven't spoken to you all week. I just make sure your week's going okay. Wishing you a wonderful day. So she said, it's so busy. She said, I have to assume my two-year-old takes chametz everywhere. And I heard Rabbi Shai Shechter say that in the shiur last week. He said, if there's a house where no one ever takes chametz, so it's totally potter from bedikas chametz. That's a halacha. It's a clear halacha. No one disputes it. If it's the laundry room or the office or a closet, you don't have to check. You don't have to check. He said, but there's a caveat. If you have little children, and he said, little children talk and take chametz everywhere, then you have to assume everyone in the house needs to be checked. So my sister-in-law, Mama, said to me this morning, it's so busy, there's so much cleaning, I have to assume the two-year-old takes chametz everywhere. Come, achmetzes lo sochelu. All chametz shall not be eaten. B'chomosh hoseichem. So in house X and Y and Z, you made it to Karban Pasach in one house, that house is painted with blood. But in all of your dwelling places, no chametz. Tochlu matzos. B'chomosh hoseichem tochlu matzos. In all your dwelling places, you shall eat matzah. Okay, I want to talk about Pasuk Yud Aleph. And I find this Pasuk very moving. All the Pasukim are very moving. And very impactful. And very interesting. We're told how it has to be cooked. When it has to be shachted. When it has to be taken. What we shall do with the blood. Go to your neighbor's house. We have so many halachos. We're told how we have to dress for the Korban Pasach specifically, and how we have to eat it. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'kacha tochlu oso, so you shall eat it. Masneichem chagurim, your loins shall be girded. Na'aleichem beraglechem, your shoes shall be on your feet. U'makachem biyadchem, your staff in your hand. So it indicates, what does this indicate? You're ready for the road. You're girded, your shoes are on. It's not like, oh, where's the shoes? And in the bin in the olden days, everyone probably had one pair of shoes. Today, Kanayin Har, it's not usually like that. You're running around, you're trying to leave. Has anyone seen my sneakers? Has anyone seen my natives? Has anyone seen my slides? I can't find them. So Hashem says, you know, when you eat the Korban Pesach, you really have to be ready to go. Make sure everyone's wearing their shoes. Your walking staff, we spoke about the staff last night, being support. Your staff shall be in your hand. You have to eat it with behilu. You have to eat it in great haste, in chipazon. It is a Pesach for Hashem. Okay. I'm going to go now back to Shmos Perek Gimel. All of these parshas, Shmos Ve'era Bo B'Shalach, are relevant to the story of Shibun Mitzrayim and Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim. And let's look at the beginning of the burning bush, which Rabbi Bender already touched upon. Rabbi Bender has told us, why was Moshe allowed to question God, so to speak? Why was he allowed to say, why did you send me? It's much worse. Why was he allowed to say, you gave them gold, it's your fault? But Avram wasn't allowed to question. In fact, Rav Salvechik says, quote, had Avram Avinu asked questions, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Ummah Yisraelis. Faith means not only to believe, but not to ask. Avram Ayachid was not allowed to ask and did not ask. Moshe, on behalf of the Rabbim, tapped into the Midah, so to speak. Please, I'm only saying this as an expression. Don't misunderstand. Tapped into, so to speak, the Midah of Kefira, Chas V'Sham. Rabbi Bender says he put his Emunah aside. He closed off clarity in Emunah as a manhik to question God. Adam Arishon was shirking responsibility. He didn't want to cry us. It's not me. You gave me the woman. It's your fault. Aisha says, you gave me the Nachash. It's your fault. So why was Moshe allowed to say, you gave them gold? It's your fault. Going back to Rabbi Bender's answer, which my husband answered before he even took a Rabbi Bender sefer, Moshe is defending the people. And Rabbi Bender ended his piece by saying, what's the first thing Hashem said to Moshe at the burning bush? Feel every pebble. Feel the pain. Feel every crack in the road. Feel the pain of the people if you want to be an effective manhig. So let's look at Sefer Shmos Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. So we're going to the different portions today through the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Moshe hayaroetzon Yitro Chosno. Moshe's minding his own business. He's a shepherd for Yisrael. Everything is fine. And he leads the sheep into the desert. He comes to Har Elokim Choreva. Another word for Har Sinai is Choreva. Chorev. But it's him as a yachid. And an angel of God appears to him in a flame of fire from this burning bush. And he sees, and behold, the sneh is bo'er ba'ish, This thorn bush is burning in fire. Rachi Fried Einikel. I can't read that pasuk without thinking about you and that verb. And he sees the bush is burning and it's not being consumed. This is so strange. And Moshe says, wow, Asurana, ve'era etamar ha'gadozek, madua lo yivarasne. Whoa, I'm going to stop. I'm going to look. Here's Moshe the Redeemer, who's not even mentioned in the Pesach HaGadol, except once by Yosyasher quoted in Pasuk, because Yitzias Mitzrayim is totally Hashem, but Omaisa, Moshe is the Shaliach, with the Matah in his hand. I'm going to look at this great wonder. Why is the snap not burning? And God sees, he turned to see, and Elohim calls him from the snap. So the first thing he does, he calls his name, Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer Hinini. Ah, it's God. Do I have something to tell you? What do I have to tell you? Al tikrav halom. Wait. Stop. Don't come so close. What should you do first? Shalva Rabbi Bender quoted. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha ki amakam asher atal meid ad ma'as kodeshu. You know what you should do? Before you go any further, halt. Take off your shoes. The ground where you're standing is holy. And then, only after that, Hashem introduces himself. I am the God of your father, the God of Aram, God of Yitzchak, God of Yaakov. Moshe hides his face. He can't believe who's talking to him from the burning bush. I've seen the affliction of my people. I heard their outcries. I'm coming down to Egypt, Pasuk Ches, to take them from this land to the good land of Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. After Hashem introduces himself, he says the end goal here is Eretz Yisrael. But first, before we can make our acquaintance, before I could tell you I'm God, I have to tell you that you have to take off your shoes. Rabbi Bender says that was the beginning of Moshe understanding that because he has to feel the pain of the people, sometimes he has to challenge the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak. We saw two examples. One Rabbi Bender gives Shmos, this parsha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Why did you send me? Hashem says, the Avos never questioned me. Moshe was supposed to question God, Kaviyachol, on behalf of the Klal. Why did you give them so much God? It's your fault that they sin. And Hashem accepts that. Because Hashem doesn't kill them. Moshe says, forgive them or erase me. Well, obviously it was the former, not the latter. Because apparently he forgave us. And he didn't erase Moshe. Why? Because a man has to feel the pain of the people. And do whatever he can. Don't say, when someone comes crying at your door and you're the manhig, don't bother me. I don't want to hear your sob story. I'm not interested. I can't help you. You know what you should say? Forget God, so to speak. I'm going to help you. I will do whatever I can. Don't tell the pauper, Yeshua Hashem Keharafayin. You be the Yeshua Keharafayin and give him Kimcha de Pisra. So, this idea that Rabbi Bender writes, I heard proposed by Rabbi Shai Shachter a number of years ago as well. Rabbi Shachter said, why, it's a mamish exactly what Rabbi Bender writes, why did Hashem tell Moshe to take off your shoes? He was saying, you're a man, you have to feel the pain of the people. Rabbi Shachter gave a couple of other examples where you see this inyan in Torah, that the removal of shoes means feel someone else's pain. If a woman is married and her husband dies and they do not have children, so who is going to establish offspring for the deceased? His brother should marry the Yevamta. If the brother does not want to perform Yibum, what do? A process called Chalitza. And what do? We remove the shoe. Why? You are showing symbolically that this man, sorry, should have felt the pain of his deceased brother. He should have wanted Yukam Zera Lachiv. He should have wanted to establish for his brother offspring. He didn't. He should have wanted to take off his shoes, showing you should have felt your brother's pain. How would you have felt if that happened to do you? You would have wanted someone to marry your widow to establish name, take off the shoe to show that you should have felt pain. Another example Rabbi Shachter gave. So in preparing Shir, this is brought down in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. I heard this Rabbi Shachter say this years ago. Another example. The Medrash says, Perek Lamed Zayin of the book of Bereishis, when the brothers sold Yosef, so the Medrash says in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, they sold him, from quoting, for 20 pieces of silver. There were 10 brothers. Yosef was sold. Binyamin wasn't there. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Each brother took 2 pieces of silver to buy, it's very famous, shoes for their feet. The Midrash actually quotes a pasuk from Amos, which until I was preparing this year, I didn't even realize when I went to look this up. The pasuk in Amos, Perek Beis, pasuk Vav says, Al michram bekesef tzadik, ve'evyon ba'avur na'alayim. So Chazal quote, this pasuk is proof that they sold Yosef the tzadik for shoes. Again, Amos, Perek Beis, pasuk Vav, Al michram bekesef tzadik, because they sold a tzaddik for money, for silver. The Evyon, and a destitute person, Yosef at this point was destitute, perhaps not monetarily, but in his position vis-a-vis the brothers. But Avur Na'alayim. So they sold the tzaddik for kasef, and then what did they do with the kasef? They went and they bought shoes. Why? Rabbi Shachter said, they were putting on shoes, they didn't want to feel the pain of their brother. They wanted not to feel the pain of somebody else. So they put on shoes to protect themselves, so to speak. Why do I need to feel Yosef's pain? He's in the pit, he's screaming, he's crying. I'm going to sit down and have bread. I don't want to know about his problems. Putting on shoes indicates the opposite of what Hashem told Moshe. It's very interesting. This past year when I was learning Tazria Mitzorah, I didn't look up the exact pasuk for you. But if a house gets tzara'as, I believe it's in Mitzorah, the lashon used by the stones of the house, you have to take out the stones of the house, and the lashon used there is chet lamed tzadi, the root word of chalitza. You take the stones outside of the city and you do chalitza on the stones in a sense. It's really interesting. I don't know where else, how many times you see this in Chumash, but why does tzaras come? Because you didn't feel the pain of your fellow Jew. You didn't take off your shoes. You thought you could speak Lashon Hara. You thought you could be a Baal Gaiva. You thought you could denigrate somebody else. So as a rectification or repair, we perform chalitza on your house. Chalitza is very reminiscent of what we do to the brother-in-law to show us once again that you have to feel the pain of somebody else. When I was preparing last year, say for Yehoshua, for Oyu Torati Mechanach Yomi, I came to Parak Hei in Sefer Yehoshua. And for obvious reasons, as you will hear, these psukim struck me as very profound. We're in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. It's Parakei. The last psukim, the last three psukim of Parakei, Yud Gimel through Tatvav. Vayihi biyo Yehoshua bericho. Yehoshua is in Yericho. And he lifts his eyes and he sees there's a man standing opposite him with a sword in his hand. And Yehoshua went to him and he said, are you with us or against us? Are you in my camp or are you my enemy? And the angel says, no, I am a host, I am an emissary from the God of hosts. I have come now. Yehoshua falls upon his face, he prostrates, and he says, what are you telling me? What's the messenger? Do you have a message for me? And the angel of God says to Yehoshua, Shal na'alacha me'al raglecha, ki amakom asher ata omed alav kodesh hu. Now those words should sound very familiar, because we started, not started, but a few minutes ago, we were in Perek Gimel. And what does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? That, there's a little bit of a difference. Okay, there's a little bit of a difference. Hashem says, Admas Kodesh Hu, and Yehoshua doesn't have the word Admas. But otherwise, the words are the exact same. But the first thing this angel tells, he's at the beginning of his career. He's a Talmid of Moshe Rabbeinu. How is Moshe inaugurated into his career? You are allowed to say, why did you send me? Even though the Avos didn't question because they were Yachid. You're allowed to say, you gave them so much gold and I'll accept your defense. Even though Adam wasn't allowed to say that. What's the first thing Yehoshua, who takes over the leadership of the people, as the Talmud Muvhak, Menar Yehoshua lo yomush, not lo yomush, lo yomush sefer atorizos mipicha. It's in Parshas Ki Tisach. Yehoshua did not move from the tent. What's the first thing Yehoshua is told? Not the very first, but on their way to conquering Eretz Yisrael. Shal na'alacha me'al raglecha ki hamakom asher ata omed alav kodeshu. Minus the word Admas. The same inauguration as Moshe. If you want to be an effective manhig, if you want to conquer the land and divide the land, what do you have to do? Take off your shoes because you have to feel the pain of your people. It's a strong Moshe Haskel for us, by the way. We can't be so much walking in our own shoes that we are immune to the pain of our fellow Jew. We might not be manhigim or rabbanim or gedolei hadar, But every Jew has to emulate this character trait of feeling, doing whatever you can. Sometimes you can help. Someone once came to Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, who was afflicted with severe Parkinson's, as we know, the last decades of his life. And they came for a bracha and an etzah. It's brought down in the Rav Nassim Tzvi biography. Rav Nassim Tzvi said, I can't do anything. He felt so sick, he was laying on the couch. He said, come inside, say to him, I'll cry with you. Let's take off your shoes. So Adam was faulted. Because as a yachid, accept responsibility. It was me. Oh, I just thought of this. What does Yonah say on the ship? What does the Brisker Rav say? One of my favorite Aseres Chumei Teshuva Vartach. What does the Brisker Rav say? When they come to Yonah and they say, L'bishami Hasar HaGadol HaZah, whose fault is this big storm? Yonah could have said, you're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. I'm the only God-fearing guy in the ship. It's because of you. Throw your gotchkas overboard. The storm will subside. What does Yonah say? Ki yodeya ani, ki bishali, hasar hagadoza. What did Yonah say? It's my fault. Adam should not have said, you gave me the woman. Avram Avinu did not say, what are you making me crazy? Esther told me, ki biyitzchak karli chazara. This is Mamasha Medras. Parashas Vayera, Nun Vav, Medras Bereshis Rabba. Today you tell me Shachtim, Avram didn't ask questions because he was a Yachid. But Moshe is inaugurated into his Tafkid as the Shaliach for Yitzhak Mitzrayim with the Mata in his hand at the snare. And God says, before we get down to business, I need to tell you something. Take off your shoes. What does God say to Joshua before the conquest and the conqueror? Take off your shoes. What did the brothers do? They put on their shoes because they said, we don't want to feel his pain. What do you do to the house that has tzara'as? Chalitza. Because the person did not feel the pain in a sense. You're taking up. It's incredible. It's in Parshas Metzora. I actually reached out to Rabbi Shachter when I came across the pasuk. As I said, look at this. In the house, you essentially do chalitza. You're showing that person you took off your shoes. You didn't feel the pain of your fellow Jew. Who are you to speak Lashon Hara about somebody else? Whew. What does this all have to do with Parshas HaChodesh? Close my chumash, sorry. In Egypt, we saw in the passage, Amatzos Marorim Yachluhu. Why do we eat maror? We talk about it in the Agada, Vayimaror Es Chayim. We quote the pasuk, Vavod Akasha, Bechomer Velei Veinim, Vechol Vos Dasam Asher Avdu Behem Befarach. Backbreaking, demeaning labor, children as bricks, children into the Nile. Taskmasters, men divorcing women. It was a complete dehumanizing experience of torture for Knesset Yisrael. In Egypt, we felt every pebble. We felt every bump, every brick, every piece of straw. Oh, I taught a medrash this year. I taught a medrash this year that the straw would pierce their feet when they were working it in the field, and the fields became all bloody from the blood of Knesset Yisrael. When you think, Rachmana Litzlan, my four grandparents, my father just told me this last night, I never knew this. My paternal grandparents were both, my grandmother came from Munkach, were both in Auschwitz. I don't know why I never knew that. I knew more about my mother's parents, Aleihem Hasalom. And you read that they didn't have shoes, or if they had shoes, they held on to them, or they had wooden clogs that didn't even fit. The torture of Egypt was represented in proverbially and literally not having shoes. So their feet were bleeding, their hearts were bleeding, their minds were bleeding. Par was bathing in Jewish blood and shechting the babies, not in that order, Rashi to Shmos 2:23. So what does Hashem say by the Geula? Whew! The kacha tochlu oso. You know how you should eat the korban pasach? Who remembers? Masnechem chagurim, na'alechem beraglechem, mekalchem biyadchem, va'achaltem oso b'chi pazon, pasach hu la'Hashem. When the redemption is here, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam say? Put on your shoes. What does it symbolize? Not only that you shouldn't be running around the house by the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. saying, where's my Crocs? Where's the other slide? Could you find a New Balance? I wanted my Shabbos shoes. Not only that. Sometimes it happens. It never happens to you, especially with little kids. Talking about little kids. You can't find their shoes. So Hashem wants everyone ready to leave, but something deeper. You know what Hashem is saying? The Geula's here. You know what's Geula? You won't feel the straw piercing your feet. You won't be bleeding in the fields. You won't feel every pebble of torture, of avdus, of inui, of avodas perach. The path will be much easier for you now. You will be protected. With the redemption comes the comfort of once again being commanded to put on our shoes. Nothing in the Torah is an accident. Moshe was inaugurated into his position before I could tell you who I am. The first thing Hashem says is, whoa, take off your shoes. Then Hashem says, you know who I am? I'm God. I'm the God of your fathers. I see the people. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. Before, if you're a leader for the people, you should question why I sent you. You should say you gave them the gold. It's your job to walk in their shoes. So take off your shoes so you can feel their pain. And Yehoshua, look it up. It's the last pasuk of Perek Lamed Hey. Mamish, except for one word, the exact same pasuk. You're the Talmud of Moshe. You know what you should learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Take off your shoes if you want your mission to be successful. You know what you do to the house that has tzara'as? You perform chalitza. Because that person, you remove their shoes, didn't feel the pain of his fellow Jew. When the Geula comes, we're all going to be told, put on your shoes. Because the horrible pain of galus will be over. And that's how you eat the Karban Pesach. Ready to go with your shoes on your feet. I'm going to end by quoting a passage from Rav Soloveitchik that I haven't told over for a long while. This was related by the Rav in his Tshuva Drasha, October 1970. By the way, next week is the last year before Pesach, and we are doing Haggadah Shel Pesach Insights. Be'ezrat Hashem. I heard from my father, says the Rav, Rav Moshe, that Rav Chaim of Volozhiner was once asked, how will the Messiah come? He responded, let me tell you the following parable, and you will understand how the Messiah will come. On an ordinary weekday, I have to move this, this is in my way, 1 second please. I have to arrange everything, the stanza, the Sfarim, the computer, the Zoom, Baruch Hashem. Okay. On an ordinary weekday, I come home from the yeshiva, says Rav Chaim of Volozhiner. After the morning prayers, and my wife says to me, Chaim, are you ready to eat your breakfast? I say, Ralka, I have not finished preparing my lecture for today. I cannot eat till I review the texts that I will be teaching in yeshiva. All right, Chaim, says Ralka, let it be. Chaim Volozhiner died in 1821, I believe. He established the Volozhin yeshiva. 1800, he's the father of what we call modern-day yeshiva system as we understand it. All right, Chaim, she says, let it be. While you're preparing your lecture, I will go to the market and I will buy a few things. In the meantime, I will leave the soup cooking on the stove. But I know you, Chaim. You forget everything once you start your learning. Please be mindful to stir the soup. My wife left for the market. I opened my volume. I started to study the appropriate texts. Suddenly, I look out the window. The sun is shining, much brighter than ever before. What intensity to the sunshine. And I hear the birds chirping, a new, stirring, enchanted melody. I hear a commotion in the street and I see Ellie. I look out my window, the shoemaker. He's running and he's dancing. And I say, Ellie, what's happening? Why is the sun so bright? Why are the birds singing? What has happened to the trees? They are blooming, Chag Ha'aviv, with new leaves. Rabbi, says Ellie as he looks at me. Don't you know? The Messiah is here. Immediately, I run to my closet to get my Shabbos kapata to greet King Messiah. I take out my suit. Oh no, my jacket is missing a button. Last Saturday night, it fell off. When I told my wife, Ralka, to mend it, she said, what's the rush, Chaim? I'll do it for next Shabbos. Now I have to go forth and greet King Messiah with my jacket that's missing a button. So I'm debating with myself whether I should wear the defective jacket or whether I should wear the weekday jacket. My wife comes running home. She goes to the fire. Gewalt, Chaim! The soup has burned. You forgot to stir it. I look at her and I say, Ralka, you foolish woman. We're going to greet the Messiah. You're worried about the soup? Go get dressed in your finest Shabbos clothing and come with me to greet Melech HaMashiach. Says the Rav, this story, which he heard from his father, Rav Moshe, which I surmise he heard from his father, Rav Chaim Brisker, which we can assume he heard from his father, the Beis Halevi, summarizes the whole saga of the redemption of the Jewish people. The Jew waits endlessly for redemption, and when it comes, it's unexpected. At that moment, he discovers a button is missing from the suit he has to wear to greet the king. When it comes, it's bebehilu. When it comes, it's bechipazon. But when it comes, be ready. Because how shall you eat the korban that celebrates and commemorates and reminds us of freedom? No more babies into the river. No more paro shachting Jewish tino kol Yisrael v'rochetz b'damam. No more taskmasters and backbreaking labor. No more straw piercing our feet and the fields are filled with the blood of the Jews. No more pebbles, no more stones, no more pain. The leader who was told to put on his shoes will lead us to freedom, to take off his shoes. When freedom comes, we are all told, put on your shoes. The galus is over. Don't worry about the soup or the button. Just get your shoes and we're ready to go. V'kacha tochu oso masnechem chagurim na'alechem v'raglechem v'makalchem b'yadchem v'achaltem oso b'chipazon b'behilu in a haste. We left Egypt, Pesach, hu l'Hashem. I thank everybody in live and in Zoom. I wish you a wonderful, meaningful Shabbos, and Be'ezrat Hashem, I will see you next week. Thank you so much to all.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. I'm just going to read my comments. I'm just going to stop my recording.